I ask that you open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And we'll be looking at the first 12 verses as we continue our journey through Mark's Gospel. And today in Mark chapter 2, we will see that a controversy arises about Jesus on the subject of who can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins? Of course, the question is, isn't God the only one? Well, that's going to bring up an interesting answer we will see this morning. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we asked, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word this morning. Lord God, help me, your unworthy servant, as I read your word, and may I faithfully proclaim it this morning. And if there be any who know not Christ today, here I ask that you, Lord, will grant them faith and repentance to trust in Christ. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Mark chapter 2, the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." In our text, Jesus entered Capernaum. And many, many flocked to see him. We saw that at the end of Mark chapter 1, that Jesus was gathering great followers because of the miracles that he was doing. He had shown his authority over demons, over sickness and disease. And we see that he preached with authority, we saw in chapter 1. And again, we see here in verse 2, he preached the word unto them. He preached the word unto them. He preached it with power. People were coming. They were gathering to hear him. And then in verse 3, we read of a group that bring one who has the palsy. He apparently couldn't walk. I don't know exactly how bad this was, but it appears it was very bad. He couldn't walk for sure. And it was so many in the house here that Jesus had gathered that there's no way they could bring him in. So they got up on the roof, we see here. and open up the roof and lowered him down in where Jesus was. Now, let me say this. This man had some good friends. He had some good friends. They did what they could to bring this man to Jesus. And folks, we need friends that will keep us close to Jesus. It's just a practical, I think of some practical theology there. And Jesus, it says, saw their faith. These people were people who had faith in Jesus. He saw their faith. They were not faithless people. None of them were here, this group of people, even the palsied man. And what were the first words that Jesus said to this man who had the palsy? He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Bold words, very bold words. And this brings up a question. Why did Jesus speak these words of forgiveness to him? I mean, why were these the first words that Jesus spoke to him? Now, if you were writing a novel, a human would, you'd say that he'd say, "Rise up and be healed. Raise up and be healed." That's not what Jesus said. Jesus' first words to him after he saw the faith said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The reason is the greatest need for all of us, folks, is forgiveness of our sins. That is the greatest need. This man had a greater need than even physical healing. Now, I believe in praying for the healing of people like we have on our prayer list, and we should. But the greatest need is for forgiveness of sin. Now, let's delve a little deeper in this. He says, "Son, thy sins." What does the word sin mean? You ever thought about that? What does it mean? Well, if you go into the Greek, the original language here of the New Testament, the word sin, it's actually a pretty simple word. The simplest definition, and looking this up, is just simply means to miss the mark. To miss the mark of God's perfection is what sin means. Also, some other definitions of sin is it's to miss the path of uprightness or righteousness, or to wander from the path of uprightness. Ultimately, it means the simple one, you miss the mark of God's righteousness. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Where the Apostle Paul goes in a pretty good bit of detail about what's about sin in verses, beginning in verse 9. And we'll look at 9 through 20. And in verse 9 of Romans chapter 3, when talking about sin, note what Paul states. "What then, are we better than they? Knowing no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." Paul says all, Jew and Gentile alike. That covers the whole world there. Every ethnicity. The Jews and the Gentiles, the rest of the world, are what? All under sin. All have missed that mark. All have wandered from the path of uprightness. They've missed the path of righteousness. Verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." He didn't say that most people are not righteous. He's talking about the unbelieving world. No, not one. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." When you share the gospel with someone Christian, and you say, they just don't seem to understand. They just seem like I'm talking to this pole right here, this wall. What does he say? They don't understand. In their natural state, humans, it's just what you're going to say is foolishness. It requires the Holy Spirit to open their minds and their heart. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Humanity in its natural state does not seek after God. They're going to seek after unrighteousness. They're going to seek after the things of this world. That's the natural state of humans. Notice verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are all are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, that is an open grave, and their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know people like that? You see it all around today here in the United States. Notice, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. You see violence all around us. Luke Hammond is in the top 10, top 8th or something like that. Somewhere, you know, it's in the top 10 most violent towns in the state of Louisiana. And you see violence all around. You just see the news. Killings, shootings, fightings. It's part of human nature. Sin. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Look at the news. Let's go look internationally. Got a war going on in Gaza. Israel, Gaza. You go over Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine. What's the source of all that? Sin, violence, evil. All of this has its heart, goes back to sinful ways. Notice verse 18, or verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I can tell you, my friends, this whole world, this entire lost world is guilty before Almighty God. Notice verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You may try to keep the works of the law. You may try to do good, but you're not going to be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law brings the knowledge of sin. There's a lot of people today who think that they can work their way or keep the law. Law keep their way to heaven. No, it's not possible. Go to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I think Paul in these few verses of Scripture has made it pretty clear. He's repeating himself. He's emphasizing all are under sin. All have sinned. Not some. All have missed the mark. An illustration, kind of a common illustration, would be, imagine a dartboard with the bullseye in it. Imagine that bullseye being God's perfection. We've all missed it. Everybody has. All have came short of God's perfection. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, Paul states, wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Paul goes back to the Garden of Eden, to Genesis chapter 3. By one man, Adam, sin has entered this world. And death by sin, so death is passed on to all of Adam's descendants. And my friends, we all go to Adam. Every one of us are. Look, we don't become sinners because we sin. You may have heard that before. We sin because it's in our nature to sin. We are natural born sinners. You don't have to teach a child to sin or to do wrong. It's in them. Now, you might have to teach them to do a specific sin, but it's in their nature, even in infancy. That's why King David said in Psalm 51:5, in sin my mother conceived me. Even at conception, I had the sin nature within me. in reading all this, one of the church fathers, actually the greatest of all the early church fathers, St. Augustine, in reading these scriptures, coined the term that we often use today, original sin. That we all have that original sin within us. It is within us. We inherit it from Adam. The 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith states that we, being now conceived in sin and by nature children of wrath. That's humanity without Christ, my friends. What is humanity's greatest problem? What is the lost world's greatest problem? It's sin. And look, even after we get saved, we still got that sin problem. We're still battling with that old flesh. And as Christians, we should not sugarcoat sin. I mentioned in the break room, I listened to a pastor that I know who was a video on Facebook. He was explaining the plan of salvation. And you might overlook it, but I didn't overlook it. He says, look, Jesus came to die for all our mistakes that we have made. And I was thinking, wait a minute, what mistakes? Now, that's kind of a softening the blow. You know, a mistake, you know, if I miss my exit out on the interstate, that's a mistake. Not necessarily a sin. Folks, we can't diminish sin. People need to know they're sinners. They need knowledge of sin is what they need to know. That's not condemning them. That's loving them. Many are seeking a cure. Many in the medical field seeking a cure for cancer, for Alzheimer's, for diabetes and other diseases. But the greatest problem humanity has always had, is sin. It's the source of all our problems. And that's why, going back to Mark chapter 2, Jesus knew that. Jesus didn't say to this man that your mistakes be forgiven you. No. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven you. He saw his faith. He knew that the greatest need was not physical healing this man didn't have. The greatest need that man needed was forgiveness of that sin. Now, what does forgiveness mean? I mentioned what sin is. What is forgiveness? It's a beautiful word. Beautiful word, forgiveness is. It means to send away, to let go of, to give up a debt, to depart, to leave. Jesus says, your sins be forgiven, I send them away. I depart from him. The debt, that's the end of that debt. Those are comforting words, folks. There's a song I can't remember the name of the song. He paid a debt we couldn't pay. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. Jesus saw their faith. He saw this man's faith. And notice he saw their works. He saw their faith. See, faith grasps Jesus Christ. Faith does not grasp on, I'm a good person. Look what I'm doing. No, faith sees that I can't do nothing. That I'm not enough. That I'm lost without Christ. And it grasps Christ. And we know also that faith is a gift from God. But faith looks to Jesus. Jesus said, after saying, saw their faith, he said, and he's talking about this man here, he's one of the people, he saw their faith, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Those are comforting words, folks, to hear the words of forgiveness. And if you believed upon Jesus Christ and you trust in him as Lord and Savior, my friends, he said that to you at your conversion. Your sins are forgiven. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, these are just such beautiful words if you're a Christian to grasp onto. says, "For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." And I really want to focus on this next phrase. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And by the way, the tense of this is, and the original is, Jesus' blood continually cleanses us from all sin if you're a Christian. It's and notice verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Hey, we're all sinners. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We can take note of this when we see these words of Jesus, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And you can put if you're a lady, "Daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee." You know that if you have faith in Christ, those words are for you too. Oh, those are just comforting words. If you're here today and you don't have Christ, let me tell you, he's your greatest need. He's your greatest need. And I urge you to turn from your sin and follow the example of this palsied man and look to Christ and him alone, to have faith in him. Saint, if you're struggling with sin, let me say this, struggling with assurance of salvation, why is that? You need to look within. You know, why am I struggling with assurance? Are you looking to Christ? Are you looking to something you did years ago? Well, I'm not sure I was sincere when I said that prayer in the revival meeting. I'm not sure what I did when I walked down the aisle. You're looking to yourself as your problem. You got to look to Christ, just like this man did. In him is forgiveness. You look outside of Christ, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to lack assurance. That's why we should always look to Christ. But as believers, and if you're lost, that you will look and cling to Christ as your only hope. Now, these words that Jesus spoke, as I said earlier, it angered some people. They got upset. When he said this, they said, "What blasphemy is it?" He speaks blasphemies. "Who can forgive sins but God only?" Only God can do that. Now you see, they're actually, these scribes are right, but they're also wrong on the way they're saying it. They're right, only God can forgive sin. They're wrong in that they didn't realize that Jesus is God. I was listening to this theologian, a video where he says that sometimes we talk about Christology, you know, about where is Christology in the four Gospels, and we think of the Gospel of John, which highly exalts Jesus as, you know, as God in the flesh. I mean, it kind of hits you, you know, like a baseball bat. John's gospel does. But we imply that the others don't say it. Well, we've already looked at chapter 1. In chapter 1, in the first verse, Mark declares Jesus God, the Son of God. Son of God, God the Son. My friends, these are equivalent words. He's saying the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Verse 11 in Mark 1, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And what did the demons even say about Jesus in verse 24 of chapter 1? They call Jesus the Holy One of God. And here, these scribes didn't realize it, but they were attributing praise to Jesus unintentionally by saying he's God. Only God can forgive sins. Right. Open your eyes. He's right in front of you. You got the answer, but you don't believe. Now, also notice Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves. In other words, he knew it, what they were thinking. He's God. And then he asked that question, which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven," or "Arise and take up thy bed and walk"? Which is easier? Now, I don't believe Jesus was saying that one is easier or harder than the other, but he's trying to get their attention, because none of this is hard for God, is it? God can heal and he can forgive just as easy either way. You know, forgiveness is found in Christ, as we've already looked at. It's only in him. And we look to him and him alone. Whether you're Old Testament or New Testament, the Old Testament saints were saved by looking to the coming Messiah. We're saved by looking back to the Messiah who came. But we all look to Christ. And Jesus says, which is easier? And you'll also notice here in verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. This is the first time we see this phrase in the Gospel of Mark. Mark favors this term, Son of Man. He uses it 14 times in his Gospel. It's actually, if you go real quickly with me to Daniel chapter 7 is where we first see this term. And I believe that Mark, or Jesus, is referring back to this terminology, this Old Testament. Jesus would often refer back to the Old Testament. He'd use these terms in Daniel chapter 7 in verse 13. What did Daniel see? I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Here we see a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament, the Son of God, Daniel looking upon him. In Acts chapter 7 in verse 56, I'm going to be going to these scriptures real quick. If you can follow with me, you can. When Stephen is stoned to death, what does it state here? What did Stephen say? He says, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, the Apostle John, in this vision in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 1:13, he says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, these seven candlesticks representing the seven churches of Asia, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He saw the Son of Man in priestly garments here in Revelation 1. And then one last time, Revelation 14:14, again John sees in his vision, he writes, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and up on the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, we see this term, Son of Man, that Mark here uses in other places. The term means that God the Son, the Son of God from everlasting, is the Son of Man, that he has took on human flesh. God, divinity, joined, my friends, with humanity. And that's a cardinal doctrine. Jesus is referring to himself as the Son of Man. He is God in the flesh here. And he says that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man with palsy, he said, rise and take up your bed and go to your house. Here is Jesus, one who can forgive, my friend, sins, can also tell one to take up your bed and go home. Jesus had already shown in chapter 1 his authority over sickness and disease. Here Jesus is declaring his authority to forgive. He has the authority to forgive sins. I hear people today saying you got to forgive yourself. My friends, you don't have the authority to forgive yourself. A lot of times when people say that, they're having a hard time, and I'm saying this about Christians, you're having a hard time accepting God's forgiveness, because and you're still holding on. You've got some guilt you're holding on to. You got to trust in Christ's forgiveness is your problem. You don't have that authority. Jesus has the power over sickness, death, and my friends, He is the one who forgives our sins. And if you're burdened down with sin, my friend, and you say, I've went to God, Jesus, and I prayed, and I just don't get that peace, you might be just trusting your feelings, folks. There was a song years ago, and it has a good sound to it at first, but then you think theologically, I don't think that's too sound. You know, it feels good to be forgiven. Yeah, that's a good sound. Then you think, wait a minute. Do we ever told in the Bible, you know, that we base our forgiveness based on how we feel? No. There's probably some people today who feel like they've been forgiven who have never been forgiven. And there's a lot of people who have been forgiven who are saved but are lacking assurance because of sin, because of other things. As Brother Chris said in our catechism class this morning, it's the Word of God that we got to trust. If Christ says your sins are forgiven because of the cross, if the Word of God says it, we believe the Word of God. Your feelings may be different, say differently. Jesus forgives sins. This man got up and walked. And I love, it says immediately he rose. Now, this is what I really like here. You might can miss it. And by the way, Mark often uses this term immediately. He immediately arose. He didn't just slowly get up, you know, and you know how you ever you get out of bed, you slow moving, or man, he immediately got up. Jesus healed him. He wanted to show these people how his power healing. The man jumped up. He immediately got up. He didn't stumble. He took his bed and he went home. Folks, that's forgiveness, and it shows the power of God Almighty here in the flesh. He forgives and he heals. And they all praise God for this miracle. I ask you today, my friends, do you have that assurance of your forgiveness in Christ? Have you been forgiven? Have you trusted Him? I want to close with a scripture from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, that if you may be here today and you may be trusting in your good works, you may be trusting and I'm a good person. Paul tells us in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift of God, remember? It comes from Jesus. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you think that when you stand before God someday that He's going to put your good deeds on this side, your bad deeds on this side and weigh them out, you're going to have a rude awakening on the day of judgment. Christ paid for the sins of all who believe upon Him at the cross. And only by Him, my friends, can you stand justified before God. He said to this man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He saw his faith. If you believed upon Christ and you're trusting Him, He said the same to you. And I urge you, for any who are unconverted here today, turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus Christ and believe upon Him today. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we just thank You that, Lord, it's not left up to us and our good works to get ourselves in to heaven. If it was, Lord, we'd all be lost and condemned with no hope. But through Christ, Lord, through your blessed Son, all who have faith, oh, praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to him. And I pray that if there be any here today who know not Christ, that you will, Lord, grant them that faith to look to him for salvation. And for any who may be struggling with assurance, that they will not look to something they did in the past, but will look to the cross, look to Jesus, that there's forgiveness in him and not in anything that we can do. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.